and welcome to the Brand Strategy Podcast, a show created to equip you with the inspiration, encouragement, and clarity you need to build the brand of your dreams. I'm your host, Bonnie Bakhtiari, brand designer, strategist, and founder of The Illume Retreat. From sustainable strategy to heartfelt encouragement, each episode is designed to equip you with the tools you need to chase after your dreams. Because you deserve a brand that empowers you to do what you love, connects with your dream clients, and offers a deep sense of fulfillment along the way. So grab a cup of coffee and join me on this journey, won't you? Friends, I'm so excited to welcome you to today's episode of the Brand Strategy Podcast, where I am chatting with my sweet friend and Enneagram expert, Sarah Jane Case. If you have not met Sarah Jane before, you are in for such a treat today. She is an Enneagram writer, a teacher, a speaker, and a podcaster based in Asheville, North Carolina. And you probably have come across her work online, whether you realize it or not, because she is the genius behind the Instagram account Enneagram and Coffee that pretty much went viral last fall. And it has been such a joy to get to know her and share conversations with her in the past about the Enneagram, which, no surprise, that's what we're talking about today. Today, we're going to be diving a little bit deeper into how to genuinely utilize your Enneagram type through your business so that you can really be building a brand that leans into your natural strengths and also honors your weaknesses. So I cannot wait to have this great conversation with Sarah Jane. So friend, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yes, I'm so, so excited.
Yay. Well, I would love, first of all, if you're up for it, I'd love to hear a little bit about how you got into this work with the Enneagram. I know that you are, in my mind, you're someone who I consider to be a true expert on the Enneagram. And I can like raise my hand and honestly say that I have sent you many an Instagram DM or a text message about a question about the Enneagram or some resources to even get to know my own Enneagram type better. So how did you like first come across it?
Yeah, I think I came across it like a lot of people do, which is in pursuit of understanding my relationships, right? Like, so the Enneagram is really helpful tool for compassion and understanding in the ways that we're all different. So it was introduced to me by a friend who was, we were just talking about our relationships and my husband and I were talking about how we're different but similar. And she was like, have you heard about the Enneagram? And we took the test like the next day and both of us mistyped on the test, but through the research, it took me like 2 years to find my, like really nail down my number. And through that journey, I just like learned and researched and just became really obsessed with every number and understanding other people. And it gave me language for a lot of the interests that I had already had, right? So yeah, that's how I found it.
That's amazing. So you said that you originally mistyped, both you and your husband, when you first took the test. Do you remember what you guys typed as originally?
Yeah, so I typed as a 2. And he typed as a 7. And so I actually, he's a 4 and I'm a 7. So when I read his description that he got from his results, I was like, that sounds like me. And, and at that point, I still believed the test could tell me, you know? And I was like, I can see some 2 in me. Like, I would like to be this person. And like that highlights some of like the things I like about myself, you know? Yeah. And, but then, yeah, he quickly found out he was a 4. Like, as soon as he read the description of 4, he was like, there I am. And I think I felt the same way. I just didn't trust it as much. You know, I felt like when people describe a 7, it's like they're happy all the time. And I think it's less about being constantly happy and more about being in constant pursuit of happiness and constant, choosing happiness over other feelings for better or worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. So for those listening, I am actually a 2 on the Enneagram. Like Sarah Jane said, she's a 7. It's funny because my husband is a 7. And when Sarah Jane and I first met, it was actually last October, we were both teaching at the Imperfect Boss Camp in Canada. And I don't know how it came up, but we start chatting, and like pretty much instantly we started talking about the Enneagram, and we could just connect so much based on, you know, someone I'm so close to is a seven. And so I felt like just going into that conversation with Sarah Jane, like it was so fun to just like go into it being aware of, you know, like parts of your personality or parts of your strengths and things like that, that I really respected and that I wanted to get to know more. And so it's just kind of a fun thing that I guess when I think about it, like it brought us together in the beginning, which is so crazy. But when you were going through your journey of like figuring out how you actually were a seven, something that you said a minute ago was really interesting to me. You said like you believed that the test could tell you. And I think so many of us who've taken the Enneagram test or who are newer to the Enneagram, we believe that like that test should tell us what our type is. But how would you recommend someone dive into the Enneagram? Do they take the test? Is the test not relevant? Like, what's the best way to figure out what someone's type is?
Yeah. So because the Enneagram is so internal, it's very difficult to test accurately. And there's only one test that is really incredibly accurate. It's like 95% accurate, and it's on integrative9.com. If you want to pay for that test, it's like a lot more pricey, but these free tests are like 50 to 80% accurate at max. And like because, you know, we're all trained to be the right person, right? Like we're trained our whole lives to be what we deem as like correct or right or how we're supposed to be. And so when we're tested on questions like, do you think it's important to be helpful? Well, yeah, you know? And so we're much more inclined to answer from the place of like who we think we should be more than like what we're really gut honestly like. And so you can try and take that test from the perspective of like, who am I the most? Am I average? Not when I'm like enlightened or even like when someone else's values have been ingrained on me. But ultimately, I think it's best to just read through the numbers and see which one makes you feel the most uncomfortable. Because the truth is, it's easy to see ourselves in the high levels of all the numbers a lot of times, because it's like, we all want to be the best version of each number. It's really when you're able to identify with the low level behaviors that you can really identify yourself much more clearly, because you just don't want to admit to most of those, right? Like I'm not going to just like willy-nilly admit that I could be perfectionistic. You know, I want to really choose or be honest, you know, about the negative ones. So read through them honestly and just see which one makes you feel a little bit like, ugh, I don't want to admit that that's me.
Oh my gosh, that's such good advice, but like the advice that nobody wants to hear, you know, like read the descriptions and however you feel most uncomfortable, like pay attention to that. So I feel like just as I've gotten to know you and as I've seen you lead others through getting to themselves better through the Enneagram, and especially as you've started the Enneagram and Coffee account on Instagram, I feel like you've done such an incredible job of understanding how the Enneagram isn't just like some personality inventory tool that you like acknowledge once, you take the test once, you read through the descriptions once, and then you kind of like forget you ever did it, right? I feel like you do a really great job of actually integrating it into your life. So what is it about the Enneagram that has stuck with you in that way and that you have not only felt drawn to study more in your own life, but you've also been inspired to then teach others on?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. So, you know, I think a lot of times when you take a test like the Myers-Briggs or something, you're given like an assignment. Basically, it's like, this is who you are. And it gives you kind of an understanding of why you operate the way you do, but it, or like things that you might do. The Enneagram gives you work to do. It's a relationship that you're creating with yourself. So a lot of times these like magical, like growth, this confidence, this ability to really be the essence of who we are, it comes from the willingness to kind of dig in the dirt of like what we're capable of, you know, and what we have been and what we could be, and at our highest and our lowest. And the Enneagram really helps us to skip kind of those 10, 20 years of self-exploration and gives us like, here it is. Like, here's what you need to be thinking about. Because a lot of times people go their entire lives and they never even get that awareness, much more like the ability to kind of dig deeper and do the work. So one, it gives you that information, but then also it requires of us kind of a continual awareness. I think the levels of health thing, you know, a lot of times people, you know, we each have different levels of health from like low to high in our number. And it shows like some low level behaviors and then some like high level behaviors from our number. And a lot of times we think of that as like, I'm in an unhealthy season. Like I'm in, you know, 3 years, I've been an unhealthy two or whatever. But in reality, it's a lot more like a day-to-day dynamic. Like I can be a low level seven today and a high level seven today, and holding the awareness of like, oh, that's a low level seven behavior. I see that coming up. How do I choose a high level seven behavior versus I'm just an extrovert, so I am what I am, you know?
I love that you said that, because I think that something that I have heard just even in conversations with clients or like the women inside my group coaching program, I've heard them say, like when we start talking about the Enneagram, like, oh, I made this choice in business, or I did this when I was talking to my partner because I was being such a five, or I was being a total three. And they kind of like almost like push off behavior, or they kind of like use it as an excuse of like, oh, well, I did this, or I made this choice, or I operated from this thought pattern because of my type. And so I feel like I can see some people who choose to sort of use it as kind of like a you know, like hall pass. But I also can see it as, based on what you said, a tool to like really challenge your relationship with yourself on a day-to-day basis so that you can become the best version of yourself for yourself. So to me, those are like totally different things.
Yeah. And I think the Enneagram can be used in one of three ways. Like it can be used as that like excuse for behavior that's not serving you or others. It can also be used as a tool for shame. A lot of people read their type and they're like, I'm the worst number. You know, there's that feeling of like deep shame. In reality, it's like this mixture of honesty. It's just about being honest. It's like looking objectively at the fact that like sometimes we're amazing, sometimes we don't show up in the way that we intend to, or in a way that's actually helpful to us or others. And we're just human and we're all trying our best, and we all have high level and low level. And that when we are kind of experiencing those level behaviors, it's just much more helpful for us to meet ourselves with, one, the honesty that, you know what, this is a low-level behavior. I have the option to choose a high-level behavior here, and that's my choice. And also, it's okay because I'm human and we're all just trying our best. And I'm not the only one with a low-level behavior in my type pattern.
Totally. I mean, I know that like those listening, you can't see me, but I'm like listening to Sarah Jane and I'm like nodding my head aggressively to everything she's saying. Okay. So when you're talking about how we can really utilize the Enneagram as a tool to really challenge ourselves to operate from really kind of from our most honest spaces of like being those high level behaviors, choosing those high level decisions, also acknowledging those low level ones and giving ourselves grace when we do. So to me, I see that like, you know, really impacting our day-to-day life. So as entrepreneurs, how can we work in tandem with our Enneagram type? Is that something we should even do? Like, I would love to know your thoughts on how this whole Enneagram thing fits into these businesses and these brands that we are building.
Yes. Okay. I'm like so excited because this is like, I'm so passionate about entrepreneurs having the choice to create a business that is built completely around their personality type. And and like who they are in their essence and what's going to actually fulfill them. And so I think a lot of times, right, there's so much advice out there and it's all good advice. It's just maybe not your advice, you know, it may not be the right advice for you. And so a lot of times we take all of this advice in and we shift our businesses in all of these varying ways and we're scrapbooking good advice together, ultimately creating a business that we don't want to run for ourselves because we're trying to run it like everyone else is running their businesses. And in reality, the people who are teaching us these things, right, they're not doing all of them. They're not doing like you're running your business like Bonnie. I'm running my business like Sarah Jane. We're not running a Bonnie Sarah Jane compilation over here. But people who listen to both of us and are taking that advice as truth are doing that. And so when we can lead with, well, let's talk about you and what a business will actually nurture you and serve you and be sustainable for you long term versus what we're supposed to do or what we should do based off of all of the advice we're taking in. So the Enneagram is really helpful because it's kind of a roadmap to, here's what you're going to have to think about, right? Like these are your strengths. These are the things that you're going to be really amazing at and very naturally inclined to do. It also tells you what your motivators are. Like here's what's motivating you, driving you, what keeps you going. And then it also tells you your weaknesses. And it's saying like, hey, here's some blind spots that you need to be aware of and some places where you're going to need a support plan. And so while the work of the Enneagram isn't necessarily to embrace your personality pattern, it also exists whether you're embracing it or not, you know? And so holding the space for, I'm going to create the easiest path for myself to run a successful business that is long-term sustainable using what I know about my coping mechanisms.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that so much because I think that it's really easy for us to, and I say it's easy for us, it's definitely easy for myself to see ways in which my type impacts my relationships with those who I'm closest to, like my husband, you know, my family, you know, close friends. I can see ways that it like really factors into my day-to-day personal life. But when I started kind of looking through everything kind of from the lens of how it also factored into my business and how, you know, as a two, how I could be engaging with clients and through those relationships and what a healthy relationship could look like and what an unhealthy relationship could look like and understanding what my motivators are through the work that I do and how I can actually kind of cut out all the clutter in my business that wasn't honoring those motivators because I really didn't love doing it and I always found myself struggling with it. I started to see a lot more growth, not just as a person, but also as a business owner. And, you know, it's definitely been like a very imperfect and messy journey, lots of trial and error, lots of, you know, like second, third, fourth, fifth tries. But it's something that I personally have been really grateful and I've started to become aware of this and I've started to kind of work through that. So what would you say, since this is something that you know well, and also I honestly feel like you've done a really great job of building your own business in this way where it honors your type as a seven. What would you say to someone who really wants to figure out how to work their Enneagram type into their brand, but they don't know what to do? Like, where do they start? What's the first step they should take? What do they do?
Yeah. So I actually walk people through what I call the honest method. And so basically it's like, and I can just lay it out for you if you'd like, kind of what my method is. So we start with like create a strong foundation of your strengths. So honor your strengths and really create a safe space for you to land. Lead with what am I amazing at? Create a loving relationship to your type pattern first so that when you go into the harder stuff, you've already established a compassionate landing place. So honor your strengths. So start with looking at, okay, what are the high level behaviors of my type? What do I bring to the world? Why do we need people of my personality type out there? In the same way, think about, you know, where you're really strong in your workspace, where you're really strong in your business, and lead with that and say, okay, I know what my strengths are. And then open your eyes to your blind spots is the next step. Open your eyes to, you know, where do I continuously struggle? What are the low level behaviors of my pattern? What are the things that keep kind of coming up over and over and over again? So I can say for a 7, right, that looks like I easily spread myself thin. Like I love to be busy because I don't like to sit at home in my pain, you know, potential pain. And so I take on more and more and more. I'm very interested in lots of things. And so I can just quickly say yes to lots of variety. And now that can be a blind spot. So that's a repeated pattern. And I need to create a support plan for that. So either I learn to say no, or I hire people who can support me in pursuing my varied interest. Either way is fine, right? It's just a choice. So open your eyes to your blind spots, and then note your motivators is next. So, you know, really be aware of what keeps you connected. So as a 2, Bonnie, like if you are 100% of the time isolated alone in your room, working on the computer, and you don't have that feedback, that human-to-human connection going on, then there's going to be a loss of motivation eventually. I think you do a good job of integrating human connection in your mastermind and you support people in a really healthy way versus like the lack of boundaries way that can happen for our 2s. And so note your motivators and infuse that into your business. So really be intentional. For our 3s, that might mean setting very achievable goals for yourself and giving yourself rewards versus looking for affirmation from other people at the success of that, setting those goals for yourself and achieving them. So the next thing is then explore how you show up in relationships, because our business is a relationship. Our relationships in our life impact our business. Like they are not isolated. They're not disconnected. They impact one another. And then we're going to have relationships come up in our business through hiring employees or having clients or, people trying to network with people. Really be honest about what you bring to the table in relationships, but then also in good and in bad, be very data driven in this analysis of yourself. Just be like, this is what makes me really great in relationships. And also sometimes I bring some of this to the table and it's not as shiny or fun. And how can I create a plan to build in relationships that serve me, but also set boundaries ahead of time and communicate well with clients, employees, relationships in my personal life. And then the next thing is, oh my gosh, we're at S, right? Okay, hold on.
This is amazing. I'm like, I'm going to have to go back and like when this episode comes out, I'm going to be like taking all of the notes because this is just pure gold.
I'm like, I really manipulated these words in order to get what are they called when you do like the letters start your what is it called?
It's a mnemonic device, anyway, right?
Okay. The word. Yeah, mnemonic.
Yeah.
This is supposed to help, but but basically the next one is soften your path out of behavior patterns. So we know all of these things, right? Like we know our weakness impacting our release, but like, what do we do with that? Once we have that awareness, how do we actually start changing that behavior? And I see so many people do is they just kind of treat themselves like they should just get it by now, right? Like, oh, you should just be able to do that. You should just be able to like fix this. Instead, I think about it like watching a little kid tie their shoes for the first time and treat yourself that way, right? Like you don't watch a little kid tie their shoes and you don't say like, you should be able to do this by now. You should fix this. Why can't you do that? Look at you. You messed up. You messed up again. No, like you watch them, you ask them questions, you offer support, you meet them with compassion because they're learning a new thing for the first time. And we need to treat ourselves the same way when we're trying to change our behavior patterns. And so when we're thinking about creating support plans and softening our way out, really meeting yourself with the compassion, understanding, and then creating very small tangible goals through repeated behavior. So as a 7, I'm a very quick yes. I just, I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. And then a very quick no later on when it's inconvenient for other people, right? Like I can very easily be like, oh, sorry that actually I can't do the thing that I said I would do. And just assume everyone's fine with it. So that's a behavior that I know that I continuously work to change. And for me, it was just like, well, how do I soften the path out of this instead of holding shame for the fact that I've done that? How do I soften my path out? And the soft path out is just saying, let me sit with that for a little bit and get back to you. And that's like simple, right? But it has way bigger results. It's a soft shift, but it's big results. So soften your path out of those behavior patterns and then turn it into something beautiful that you share with the world. So, and that's my way of saying be productive and like use your understanding of your number to be productive. I really manipulated that language to make that work. But so like make something with that, turn it out world. And so understanding your type and what is motivating you, what tendencies you have, kind of how you might be distracted easily and creating a plan for that. For our twos, a lot of times what keeps a two from being productive is everybody else's needs are put way before their own. And so, you know, instead of thinking, why can't I just get that blog post up, start thinking, whose needs am I meeting instead of this need? How am I deprioritizing this thing? As a seven, you know, there's a lack of focus that can happen for sevens, a lack of connecting to what you're intending to do and really just being like, what's shiny and kind of what feels fun right now. And as a seven, it's helpful for me to just set a timer and be like, well, you know what, for the next 5 minutes, I can deal with this boring task I have to do. And at the end of that 5 minutes, I might decide to do another five or I might do something different. And that's, you know, that's supporting myself in the path of getting something out into the world instead of just sitting on it and, feeling a little guilty. That's all of it.
That's amazing. Thank you so, so, so much for sharing that with me. I'm not kidding. I'm going to be taking notes on all of this when the episode comes out. Because I honestly think that that is just like, it's pure gold, like to be able to understand how we can be reframing our relationships with ourselves, how that even plays into creating this foundation so that we can integrate our Enneagram types into our businesses more. I mean, all of it, like just listening to you, it's been like little light bulb moment after light bulb moment over here. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope that it, like, if all else, you know, even if you are like, okay, that was a lot, Sarah Jane, take away just like full permission to manipulate your business in service of what actually works for you versus trying to make you work for the way the business is set up.
100%. I think that it's really easy for us to, especially just with like the rise of educational content and social media and Pinterest, so many great tools that when I started my business back in 2012, there was a bit of a presence there, but it definitely hasn't kind of grown to this like massive, massive peak that it's at right now, where you can literally turn anywhere and get any advice from any expert on the internet to do anything that you want. And it's so easy for us to like see these plans laid out for us by other people and then try and, like you said, like fit ourselves into these molds that like we were never made to fill. Like those were never spaces for us. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's a challenge for us as entrepreneurs to look at the strategy, look at the truth, look at the wisdom that people share. I mean, even stuff that I teach or that you might teach, mm-hmm. you know, it's quality content. It's coming from such a good place, but it is not going to be one size fits all for everyone. And it might meet people in different seasons or with different types in different ways. And so like, mm-hmm. it's a good challenge for us as entrepreneurs to be mindful of like when we're consuming content, we need to do so through the lens of who we actually are versus trying to like take ourselves and all of our like intricacies and how multifaceted we are and all the things, all the, you know, values we hold and like try and cram them into this mold that doesn't fit. Does that make sense?
Yes. And it's like, I think a lot of times we hire coaches and then we listen to podcasts and we go to conferences and we're trying to match all of those advice together and we're creating a business. We're like hodgepodging all these businesses together and then just kind of like trying to fit ourselves into it. And, like you said, it's like better just listen, filter, and have your own filters and say, will this support my strength? Awesome. I'm going to put it in there. Is this going to support my blind spots? Awesome. I'm going to bring it in. Will this be a source of shame for me in my business because I will continue to not interact with it? Then maybe it's time to leave it behind or hire someone else to do it, Mm-hmm. And that's where it comes with like really having that strong relationship with yourself first and foremost as your informant for, what stays and what goes.
So, so true. I love that. One quick question that you were kind of talking through, how to build in these filters, how to kind of like start to consume, content, the world around you, what other people are saying, and bring that into your business in a way that honors your type. Mm-hmm. If someone is starting this journey, they're starting to figure out how to integrate their Enneagram type into their business. What would be some signs of success? Like, what should they be looking for? How should it feel? Like, what are some just key indicators that are moving forward in a path of growth?
Oh, I love that question. Well, I think at first it's going to feel uncomfortable. And I'll say that there have been times where I had, like, I call it sevening out when my type pattern's triggered. And I'm just like, no. And for a seven, that's like, talking about retirement plans. And, I have like one situation where we had flights canceled last minute that we were planning to go on a trip. And then my husband in that same conversation brings up retirement plans. And I literally hid under the covers and was like crying. And like, that's so, because it just felt impossible for me to have those conversations at the same time. Right. But the recognition of like, oh, wait, I'm sevening out. Like my type pattern has been triggered. This is just bringing something up in me. I'm scared of being caught in this potential sadness. And in turn, I'm making this harder on myself than I have to, right? Like this doesn't have to hurt. And so being able to hold that space. So first of all, it's going to be uncomfortable because you're going to be pushing through things that maybe you've never forced yourself to push through before. But then this other side of that, in your business, when you start to see the results, I always ask these two questions. Do you feel at ease and do you feel excited? And if it makes you feel expanded and open, then it's probably for you. If it's making you feel contracted and tight, then maybe that's not the right move. But ask yourself, am I contracted and tight because I am triggered? Or am I contracted and tight because I'm pushing myself beyond, what is actually necessary for me. And I think that that's the answers to that are in the Enneagram language of what our low level behaviors are, and holding that awareness.
That is such good advice. I mean, just to be, kind of aware of how we can be, I use the word challenge a lot in this conversation because I kind of think of the Enneagram as this like really healthy challenge that asks us to dig deeper into how we can be our most genuine and most honest selves, and also how we can be just open to like our blind spots and the hard stuff and the stuff that we just like naturally want to run from. So I think that is such good advice. And I just so appreciate you sharing that. When you are diving into, well, let's say when someone who is, still kind of newer to the Enneagram, like they're listening in, they are like taking all of the notes as they listen to you talk through, how to really integrate the Enneagram into their business, and they're getting really excited about this idea and they're going to take action. What encouragement would you share for them as they are starting that journey and they're wanting to dig deeper into their Enneagram type in the hopes of integrating it into their business as well?
Yeah. So I think that the first thing that comes to mind is, that you have full permission, and you can give yourself full permission to go on this journey and to make the shifts that you need to make for your business, and know that there is no right way to be a business owner. There's no perfect answer. What has worked for Bonnie has made her successful, and what has worked for me has made me successful. And we're doing completely different models. And just in the same way, you can do that in your life and in your business. Take advice from really amazing teachers, but also make it work for you. And know that this isn't easy work, but it's worthy work. It's good work. And you're on the other side of this journey, it gets easier. It softens. I don't think there's actually an other side. So I regret using that language, because there's not a destination point in this work, right? It's a relationship that you have to yourself and to your business for life. But it does soften. It gets easier. And it's so worth those, those moments of shifting and sitting with the discomfort, and even making tangible changes in your business to bring that ease and excitement on the other end.
That is just so encouraging and so true. And I really love how you kind of changed the way that you were talking about this journey with yourself. And you said, there's not actually a final destination. There's not an end point. It's just a continuing journey. Because I think that, to me anyways, that gives a lot of freedom and a lot of possibility, because instead of it being there's a start date and an end date, right? There's, you begin this journey, and then after, so much work or so much time, you are done, and then life goes on. Instead of that kind of finality to it, there's just this openness and there's this opportunity that comes with that. So yeah. I really, personally, I can really resonate with that encouragement.
Good. And it's you haven't failed if you're triggered again, right? If your type pattern shows up in a low level behavior again, good, you're human. Of course it did. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with you, and you're not messing up. You're just on the journey with the rest of us.
That's also so encouraging, because that reminds us that we're not the only people walking through these ups and downs. And the fact that earlier in this conversation, you shared that even in a good day, when you're in technically a healthy season, you can have high level behaviors and also low level behaviors in the same day. And that's okay. That doesn't make you any less healthy as a 7. That doesn't make you any less in tune with yourself. If anything, I feel like being aware of those competing experiences, just acknowledging them and learning from them, I feel like that speaks to how healthy you are and how self-aware you are in that moment. So I really think there's just so much freedom in the way that you talk about the Enneagram and the way that you share your experience with others.
Thank you. Good. That's the goal.
So if someone is listening in and they are just as obsessed with you as I am, and they want to be your new best friend, where can they find you? How can they get connected with you and follow along with your journey, your beautiful life in Nashville with your husband and your sweet stepson? I want them to know all the details.
Oh, yay. So if you're interested in Enneagram fun, that's happening over at Enneagram and Coffee on Instagram, and there's a podcast on iTunes and Spotify. And then for just if you want to get to know me, I share intimate things about my life, what I'm doing, what I'm learning over at Sarah Jane Case on Instagram. And I would love to have you any of those places.
Yay. Really quickly, you were talking about some of the great stuff you share over at your personal Instagram account. And that's actually how I first started following you on Instagram is, after we met, of course, I wanted to follow along with your journey. And one thing that you do that is probably one of my favorite things is that on Thursdays, I believe, you highlight something that you call small joys. Mm-hmm. Would you be open to just kind of quickly talking about what small joys are and how maybe we can be finding more of them in our lives?
Yeah. And what's interesting is that's actually an Enneagram choice I made, because as a 7, I'm constantly looking toward future things that could make me happy, and like my next big exciting thing. And small joys is looking for like the tiny moments in our day-to-day life that bring us a little bit of joy here and now. And so I, you know, throughout the day, I just walk around and I look at things. I take pictures of like little moments. So like, honestly, like the sun shining through the window in a certain way, or the way that my son came and asked me a question, or, you know, seeing Obi's like jawline, my husband, you know, in a specific way and being like, oh, that's cute. Little tiny things, not necessarily the big exciting things, but just the small ones. And what that does is it just helps me to be aware of like how every life is beautiful. I know that a lot of us, we can feel really discontent in the day-to-day life, right? Like, you know, they might look at the businesses that we've built and think, if I were only in the place in business where Bonnie and Sarah Jane are, then I'd be happy. Small joy's intention is to show you that there's so much to be happy about right now. And there's so much going on in your day-to-day life that is so magical and beautiful and just here for you. So that's what small joys is. So we share them, and I have people share their small joys with me, and then I share them so we can all just kind of see how much there is to celebrate in just ordinary life.
That is such a beautiful practice. And it is such a, honestly, such a gift to be able to invite others into that practice as well, so that they're able to understand and just look for those little pockets of joy that are happening throughout the day that otherwise might go unnoticed. So that personally makes my heart so happy. And if you are tuning in, you absolutely should head on over to Instagram and connect with Sarah Jane so that you can follow along as well. And speaking of ways that you can connect with Sarah Jane, she actually has this really awesome free gift for us today. She is giving you access to her exclusive monthly business check-in guide that is really designed to help you dig deeper, as I understand it, dig deeper into not only what's going on in your business, but also what's going on in your life, so that you can factor that into this business that you are running. And we will be linking that link in the show notes. So if you just go to brandstrategypodcast.com, you'll be able to snag that free monthly guide for yourself, which, Sarah Jane, thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yes, I'm so glad. I use it myself every single month, and it will remind you to check in with your Enneagram type each month in terms of what goals you're setting for your business and everything. So have fun.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for hanging out with me today. I mean, personally, I feel like I've just been so spoiled to get to just kind of catch up with you and dive deep into all things Enneagram and just like, you know, soak in your brilliance. So thank you so much for hanging out with us today. And I am so grateful for you, friend.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. It was such a joy.
Thank you so much for joining me today, friend. Before you go, I would be so grateful to receive your feedback on the Brand Strategy Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, or the podcast in general has helped you grow your brand, I'd really appreciate it if you left us a review in iTunes. Your positive reviews enable the Brand Strategy Podcast to continue to grow and reach like-minded creatives just like you. Plus, I'll be randomly selecting a handful of lucky reviewers each month to receive a little thank you surprise from me in the mail. Thank you for all your support and encouragement as together we pursue building brands with purpose and intention. Until next time, I'm cheering you on from Waco.